I want to point out one more thing about Harry Smith, which is really cool. One day, his brother come walking into the hangar. Now, Harry had no children, but he had a brother, and his brother came in, and his brother actually brought us Harry Smith's logbook. And you go to July 15th of 1942, and Harry wrote a lot of stuff in there. But the last line, the last statement is, "To hell with Hitler, bring on the good old USA."
Brigadier General George Craft, I have read quite a bit about the 38, and a squadron of this 38 group in the Pacific got Admiral Yamamoto. Could you update us a little bit on that, if there's anything? And then also, it's tied to Colonel Lindbergh that set up a way of extending the range of this aircraft.
I don't remember. I met one of the pilots. All the pilots from the Yamamoto mission are dead, I believe, now. I was pretty good friends with one of them, but it was a long time ago, and I forgot his name. Roger or somebody, and I'll think of it maybe before I'm done. The Navy had intercepted the radio messaging going back and forth for Admiral Yamamoto's trip to Bougainville. And Admiral Yamamoto was very punctual. And so they knew what time he was going to get there. And the Navy wanted to do the mission, but they didn't have any airplanes with the range. So they turned to the Army and the P-38 with their drop tanks to go do that mission for them. It was successful. 16 P-38s went out. They lost one P-38 and 15 came back. And that's about all I know about that one without doing a little bit more research. Roger Ames was the man that I knew that was actually on that. And he did give me his personal account, and I have it in my files, his personal account on what happened on that mission. Now, you want to talk about General Lindbergh. He went to the 475th, and he figured out how to get more range out of the airplanes. And generally, the way he was telling the pilots to do it was you give it a lot of throttle and you pull back on the prop, and that will extend your range. He did that, and he got at least an hour more out of each airplane than what the guys were getting before then. He got in trouble while he was there because when he was out on one of his missions, he actually shot down a Japanese airplane and got a kill, and he got in trouble for that. And the commander of the unit, and I can't remember his name right now, he got in trouble too, and he was a full colonel at the time, and he should have moved up in the generalship, and because he put Charles Lindbergh in jeopardy, he never was able to increase in his rank any more than that.
Given the scarcity of the P-38, flying P-38s, has there been any consideration that you know of going after more of the down squadron?
Right now there's 7 flying P-38s in the world. 6 of them in the U.S. and one's in Austria, belongs to Red Bull. Now, no. To answer your question, no. But there has been several attempts through the years to raise the funds necessary to go do this operation. And there is a fellow right now, the most active operation I know about is a guy named Ken McBride from California. And I believe he is hoping to go next summer to recover at least one of the airplanes. I don't know what his plan is. I haven't never talked to the man about it, but I do know, I hear that through the grapevine. I talked to some people that have volunteered that maybe next summer they may be somebody on the glacier. Now, we were 268 feet inside the glacier when we covered this airplane. We know through our involvement in the glacier that up till 1992, the average annual accumulation was 7 feet. So now we recovered this airplane 22 years ago. 22 times 7 is a lot. So he's going to have a lot more snow and ice to deal with than what we did, so his equipment's really going to have to be super heavy duty. Okay.
could you discuss the notable flight characteristics of the P-38?
Well, I've never flown a P-38, so Steve Henton, I obviously flew this one for the first time, and he flies it quite a bit for us, and my boss Rod, he flies it. It's a pilot's airplane. It's tricycle landing gear, a lot of power. It has counter-rotating props, so there's no torque involved with it. It's an easy airplane to fly as long as everything's working. This one is not an automatic airplane. In other words, you have to move a lever to adjust the coolant temperature. You have to move a lever to adjust your oil temperature. On the later models, all of that became automatic. All right, so you just turn a switch and everything worked automatically. It's a very aerobatic airplane. It's an all-metal aircraft. Actually, it's the first all-metal fighter. And it's highly maneuverable. It's a 13,000-pound dry up to 16,900 pounds fully loaded. And it still can climb and fight just as well as any other World War II fighter that we had out there. As a matter of fact, it was the P-38 that was used to shoot down Yamamoto. The P-38 was also the first airplane to shoot down a German airplane. The P-38, under the skill controls of America's leading ace, Richard Bong, got 30 kills. Thomas Guy, 40 kills and 38. My numbers mixed up. All right, so not only was it a performer, it was a very significant fighter of World War II.
Sam, we have one more question. Time for one more.
Okay, fascinating story, thanks. You said there were a large number of attempts to retrieve the aircraft before your expedition. Why did they fail, whereas you succeeded?
We were the 13th expedition to go in search of the Lost Squadron. And we were the first and, to date, the only successful recovery. But the expeditions before us did not fail. All right? We were just fortunate because the technology that those 12 before us pioneered, we were able to capitalize on and use their good ideas and put them all together and come up with some of our good ideas to actually make this the first successful recovery. But for example, in 1989 and 1990, up until that point, they didn't really even know how to get down to the airplanes. They tried all sorts of things. But in 1989, Don Brooks, he made the first melting unit. He called it a thermal meltdown generator. And he actually was the first guy to melt into the glacier. He proved the concept that to get down to the airplanes, you can melt and pump away the water, and it'll work. In 1990, a company called Arroway, they made the first successful melting unit, and they were actually able to melt down on top of the B-17.
Thank you, Bob. And once again, I'd like to point out that Warbirdson Review started out in a very, very small spot over here. Glacier Girl has been here every single time I have asked them to appear. So for that, we thank you. And a comment about what we looked like the first year you played up here?
Yeah, it was a little dirt road. And we towed the airplane in, and there was puddles all over the place. And we brought it, and we were in Aeroshell Square, and I went over there and looked. I said, I don't want to get my tires dirty over there. But we brought it anyway, and Connie and Ed have done just a tremendous job. I mean, there was nothing here then, and look what we have now today. And that is really yours.
No, that was for you guys who are always here when I ask them to be here. And again today, Bob, thank you. We have come a long way since the boom box that we had down here in the mud. So a couple of things I'd like to say to, I recognized our veterans, our aircraft owners, our sponsors. I'd like to say a special thanks to our entertainers this year, Teresa Eamon, the Letters from Home singers, and of course our Living History guys who wear those hot uniforms and tell you all about them in World War II. So a hand for our entertainers would be in order, I think. Next, I'd like to show you the hat that I have here. They do have some more veterans hats over in where you see the Warbird Alley sign over here behind us. To all our veterans, we'd like to have you go over and get a hat. That's another way of our saying thank you. And a special thanks this year to our Vietnam veterans. Jim Hagedorn, Scott's Miracle-Gro Company, sponsored the manufacturing of a coin that is a special challenge coin that says Welcome Home, Vietnam Veterans. So at the end of this, we would invite all our Vietnam guys to come up and receive one of those medals. And Bob, did you have anything you'd like to add?
I did bring some commemorative newspapers, and we just put them on a chair here. And if anybody would like to have one, it tells the whole story of the recovery of Glacier Girl. And it was something that was done by the Middlesbrough Daily News, the newspaper of Middlesbrough, to commemorate the first flight of Glacier Girl. And if you want a little souvenir to bring home with you, just come by and get one. Take two if you want, and enjoy it. And thank you very much for your time. And I really enjoy doing this for you.
All right. And again, Christina has agreed to go over to merchandise and sign a few more books if any of you are interested. And our B. Haydu is over there right now, I believe, who was a WASP in World War II. Thank you all very, very much.